who is, can I say, personal assistant to our brother, Reverend Hishmo. Reverend Hishmo came all the way, he's a missionary all the way from California in the United States of America. Quite some time we've been communicating. They are traveling around the country, the rugged places in the north, right? So Calabar State, Benue, Calabar State, Yola. The day they told me they were going to Nigeria, I said, oh God. I said they should go by flight. When they finally decided and told me they were going by road, I said I could not sleep that day. I said, God, please help us. And then she finally, I was told, I asked our Pastor Sam there at our church, as Yola posted them. I asked Pastor Sam, are they really going by road? Pastor Sam said they have decided to go by road. Hallelujah. And I asked Pastor Clark, I said, are you sure they should go by road? Pastor Clark said, well, Hishmo doesn't just care. He said, if he died on this, it's not he died for the gospel. I said, oh God, I've not seen this, I will cross it. Hallelujah. So they have been going around. They went to the degree. They are back. They are just going around the country, preaching the gospel, teaching the word of God, inspiring churches, impacting the life of God upon churches. Sadat has been the coordinator from place to place in the whole country. We thank God for a woman like that. A woman very courageous, but I'm seeing her for the first time. I'm seeing her for the first time. We've been talking. We thank God today you are here. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, you travel for a very long time just to come to a very simple, small place like this, but you're welcome.
Thank you.
I will put a hand together. Thank you. All the way from Nigeria.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here this morning. And you can open into the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 7. Nice to see you here, Fred. And we want to turn our attention unto the subject of obedient giving. Obedient giving. And we're going to start in chapter number 7 and verse number 12, and we will work down into chapter 8 and verse number 9, if the Lord willing. And I want to thank you, Pastor. You're the wife. I hope that you are well. I heard it. It's a good report. And the Lord bless you. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 7 and verse 12, that therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done a wrong. The Apostle Paul had charged this church here with repentance of an act of ungodliness. It was a man that was in their midst who was committing fornication with his father's wife. And Paul told this church to put him out, to put out this wicked man. And are you understanding my English accent? Okay. As I understand you also, I just have to pay attention. And so please listen carefully. I have my own way of speaking. But then Paul, he continues that he did not write this church for the sake of him who had suffered wrong, that's the man's father, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. It's the pastor's care, it appears, as he tells the people the truth. As he calls the people, the men and women whom he loves, unto repentance. That as he counts the cost and he pays the price. I was thinking about a man I know who has heard this message of the gospel of God's grace. He knows it's true. He confesses it's true. It may be some hidden things that if he doesn't tell me out of fear. But he knows it's true on some level. I'm sure of it. I've preached unto him many times. I've even traveled with this man in Nigeria. But he's not at the current moment standing for the truth, sir. He is standing for himself. He calls it standing for the people. And I want to help the people by hiding the truth and not committing myself unto it. That's a lie if I've ever heard one. It's an embarrassment, a shameful thing, a disgraceful thing. And a man would hold back the truth of the gospel in order to please men because he's all about pleasing himself. I hate it, Fred. I detest it. I despise it in myself. I despise it in others. And we have to overcome it if we're going to be faithful messengers of God's grace. That's what Paul was. Verse number 13 says that therefore we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. If you ever want to refresh your pastor who has been sent by God, he wants to see you refresh him by obedience unto the truth of the message. There is absolutely nothing that you can give me higher than your obedience. That's what I want for you to have. That's what I want to see in you, sir. That's the hearing of the message with a gigantic amen. It is not with of the mouth only, it's with a life. And to give money, as we're going to talk about, it is a good thing. But to give your life is even better. Even when people give me money, if I don't think that their life is in it, I'm grieved. I will take that check. But I'm sorry that you don't love Christ from your heart, and I will pray for you. But Paul said that this church at Corinth, it repented. He saw it, he heard it from Titus, and it refreshed him. In all the challenges of his ministry, he's refreshed by other people's obedience. Verse 14, for if in anything I have boasted to him about you, this brother Titus, I'm not ashamed. But as we spoke all things unto you in truth, even so our boasting unto Titus, it was found true. And it is possible to boast in a person and to put your hope in them, Fred, and to put confidence in them, and then to find out that they've been unfaithful unto the gospel of God's grace, and that your boasting is in vain. And oh, how that hurts the pastor's heart. He's put confidence in you as a child of God, and he's found out otherwise. Don't let that happen here. But verse 15 is the point I want to make on this first point. It's on obedience. It's with fear and trembling. And his affections are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. The obedience of you all. That's a good title. With fear and trembling means I'm scared to death to disobey God. It does not mean I am scared of any man on earth that is my pastor. This pastor worship, this hero worship must stop in Nigeria. We worship God. And with fear and trembling, we receive his word with obedience on our minds. It is amazing how the scriptures open if he and you come unto the word of God with an obedient mind. With obedience on our mind. Lord God, whatever you say, I will do it. Just show me the way. And give me the strength. And forgive my sins. That man or woman will hear from Jesus Christ in the scriptures. It's true. I'm an unmarried man, and I've been studying marriage for many, many years. And the key is unlocked in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And you know why? Because I could not see it. I was not willing to obey as to what it said. I had my own agenda and I had my own thoughts. And so the chapter of scripture, it was a mystery. It was like a riddle unlocked. But then I became obedient and went unto the same text and said, whatever you say, I will obey it. It opened up like a flower in the sunshine. And you know what it said? It is better to remain single. I see the shocked looks on your faces. I was a bit surprised too. And that marriage is good, but to be single is better. Why? Because I can devote myself entirely unto the Lord without distractions. I can travel. I don't have to worry about a wife and children. I can just go. But even though I knew that in my head from understanding the text and reading it, it only became true unto me as I became obedient in my life to live it entirely for the glory of the blessed God.
Hallelujah.
Now I understand the message. But still like marriage, it's good. It's good to have a companion. But in this single life, I got nothing to complain about. How are you? All the idolatry of marriage in Nigeria. Now you honor God by marriage instead of fornication. That's what we do in America. We don't marry in the USA up until we've expended our sexual energy upon everyone around us. It's like a dog after his lust. But here you marry, and it is a worthy calling.
But it's not the main thing. Oh, you young children. It's not the idol. You, sister. You are old enough to learn about marriage and how to live your Christian life right now so that you can grow up rightly. It's not the idol. It's not the end all that is to be all. Obedience unto the Son of God is. And to live your life and my life for His glory. And if we do that, and we marry and we burn together with another child of God that is burning after the passion of Jesus Christ and each other, then go ahead and get married. And it's a good thing. And I've seen some good marriages of Christians who are on fire for God. And they love each other and they treat each other right. I want something like that or nothing at all. Stay single until I die. By God helping me. Oh, but this here in trembling is the Lord. He says in Isaiah chapter 66 in verse number 2, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor, not physically and financially, but poor in spirit, who doesn't have anything I can give God. I need an atonement. I need a mediator. I need God to do something for me free of charge. I have no money to pay with. My naira cannot buy blessings. I need the precious blood of Christ. I'm poor. I need a ransom. I need an atonement. And of a contrite spirit. I'm crippled. Unable to serve God. Unable to obey. I'm sinful flesh by nature. How can I serve God? And who trembles at my word. Scared to death. To obey is more important than life itself. It's more important than happiness, sir, and joy. Because that's where happiness and joy comes from, if it's of God. I'm scared to death. I've got to obey. You have spoken. And I'll give an answer of amen. But I need the help. I need your blood to pay the price. The Almighty God says, unto that man I'll look, and unto him alone. He will help you who have fear and trembling.
Let's go back in our text, please. Verse number 16 says, 2 Corinthians in chapter number 7, that therefore I rejoice, oh, that I have confidence in you and everything. Oh, you've made that pastor so happy by your repentance and your obedient faith. And even if you have done wrong, child of God, as a Christian, and to come up out of it and say, I'm cleansed. I'm renewed. He strengthened me. He got me up out of this. It's not all over for me, even though it looked like it. He had mercy upon me in the pit of my corruption. Oh, what joy does that bring a creature? The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he had a tuffle. a, what's the word I could use better? He had an argument with Brother Barnabas or with his man John Mark as to who the scripture says he went back. And I think he went back being angry at Paul because he blinded a man in Acts chapter number 13. And the next thing that happens is you read in scripture that John Mark went back into Jerusalem. And so maybe he thought that Paul was a little bit too hard, but he was wrong. Paul blinded that man rightly. He was trying to keep somebody else from the faith of Christ. Is the echo a little bit loud here? Could you lower that echo on the machine? Is it audible? Is it clear?
Yes.
Is you able to hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. But Paul blinded that man rightly. It's the only miracle I see that's in the New Testament outside of our Lord with the fig tree of, well, no, you look at Peter, Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead on the spot. But my point is this. When John Mark came back, even though at the beginning Paul would not receive him, after a while Paul said, he has comforted me. He's refreshed me. He's one of the only Jews who is with me in the ministry. It was only three of them. That's Colossians 4. And I've been like John Mark. I've gone back. I've fallen down. I've embarrassed myself. Pastor, I've lived shamefully. And to be recovered by God. Oh, how refreshing that is to everyone that's interested in my soul and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm hoping that some of the people I've watched as they went backwards, I hope they come back and they bring me comfort.
Amen.
And when Paul was talking unto this church in Corinth, who had so many problems and so many things, and to be corrected over the 16 chapters of 1 of Corinthians, he, thank you, brother. He hears, oh, that's better. He hears from Titus of their repentance. And Paul said, wow, that's my people. That's the people of God. I ministered unto them and they heard me the truth. I'm so thankful. Oh, what a love relationship. But chapter 8 here will bring us to point number 2 and 3. And point number 2 is this. Our ability to give is the grace of God. And so is everybody with me so far?
Yes, sir.
And we understand about obedience. We understand about repentance. We understand about fear and trembling. But now he wants us to understand about the grace of God, which is what gives us giving. If our giving is a gift from God Almighty Himself. And it's not tithing, it's giving. A tithing is paying a tax that was introduced and imposed upon Israel. But you never see tithing mentioned in the New Testament after the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
The only thing that you see in this chapter and chapter 9 and 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and Romans chapter 15 is giving, and it's a grace that's been given unto us by God. And so moreover, brethren, we make known unto you the grace of God. All of our goodness, everything inside of us that's good, it's the grace of God. He started that. He loosed my will. And it's bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. It's a grace that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their generosity. For I bear witness that according unto their ability, yes, and beyond their ability. Oh, you don't have to have money to give. You just have to have a giving heart and a little bit. And it becomes a lot as you give it cheerfully and sacrificially. If all of us did that. That they were freely willing. Now, this gift of grace, he calls it in verse number 1 of grace, he calls it in verse number 6, it's a grace. And so we urge Titus that as he had begun, oh, he would also complete this grace in you as well. Let me say something, and let me try to be crystal clear. Our giving is a grace. Because everything inside of us, sir, that's good, it is a grace. It's not by our free will until God unlocks our will and makes us free. Oh, you didn't talk something. Because me and you are actually bound by nature, friend. We are locked up in the cage of Satan. And he has a key and he won't let nobody out. And he takes a control of man. He takes us captive after his own will. 2 Timothy 2. But a stronger man than he, the strong man, our Lord Jesus Christ, he comes into his temple because it's been bought by his precious blood. He enters into the temple of our body, snatches up Satan, and throws him out. He shakes him and throws him out. And he says, get out of here. This is my house. This is my body. This is what I purchased. And I've redeemed it, and I'm coming for it to take possession, and there is nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
That's what sets the sinner free. Let me quote you this from Matthew 12. In verse number 28, it says, it's the Lord Jesus says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, not by man's free will. It's bound. It's locked up in bondage, sir. It loves sin by nature. It drinks up iniquity like water. It is natural to sin and to rebel against God. All of us were born that way, right? And you and I are of our father, the devil, until Christ comes and unlocks our bondage
and liberates us. And then my will is free and I can choose God. Oh, yes.
It's a work of grace. I cast out Satan by the Spirit of God, then surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And in Luke's gospel, he calls it the finger of God.
Oh, what optimism in the preaching of the gospel. Nobody can stop it at all.
Amen.
They can kill our body, but they cannot stop the gospel of God. God can't be stopped from saving his elect. Huh? That's why we go into maneuvering. Because it doesn't matter as to what happens unto us, he can't be stopped. And if he uses us, if he's pleased, any false prophet, anybody in the Boko Haram, any Muslim, anybody on planet Earth can be converted unto the gospel on the spot.
Yes.
It's not even up to the human being, but to God. Oh, sir, I have many people in the church, and I'm preaching. And the first half hour, they just is mad. I don't like what you say in this sovereign mercy. Next thing you know, they're all locked in with a little tear. Who did that?
The gospel.
It wasn't me. I don't got enough power to get this out of your heart. But when God starts speaking, nobody can stop me, brother.
That's our confidence in preaching.
Yes.
And so me and you were selfish by nature. I don't care about anybody but myself. I'm a sinner by nature.
Oh, but I hear that gospel. And it comes with power in my heart. And I see the glory of the blessed God. And next thing I know, how can I help this gospel? How can I give? How can I serve him? Lord, take my life. And this is what Paul is saying in chapter 8, verse number 2 and 3, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, in the midst of all of their sorrows and pains, all of their grief and hardship, and their deep poverty, that didn't stop them from giving. Anybody who says, oh, I'll give after I get rich, you ain't giving. After you get rich, you'll still be doing the same thing you're doing now. Coveting for yourself. But take some poor people who have a generous heart, because they've seen the glory of the grace of God. And then you got a church that's on fire for Christ. It doesn't have to be a fancy building. You don't need a hard roof. I was passing by this large church and our foundation. We hope to get land and to do some things that will help the gospel spread in Nigeria. It was this big building. It was, I don't know if it was Catholic, Anglican, and I don't know as to what's happening on the inside. But that's the ostentatiousness. It's all glory in itself. I don't like it. I just want to worship God in simplicity. And he can be right here, right now, as much as he can be in the White House of the United States of America. This church, my sister, that is being elevated for their giving is a poor group. A poor church. What's stopping you from being like that? Absolutely nothing. Because you have a little bit of poverty. Now you can start to do some giving out of joy, out of love. For I bear witness that according unto their ability, verse number 3, yes, and even beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Now that is a free will. It's been liberated by grace. Imploring us, pleading us, that with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. One is, I'm not pleading with you to give. That's what Paul said, is that the people were pleading with him. And then Paul was saying, that's too much now, y'all. And the people were saying, no, don't you stop my blessing. I want to give unto the glory of God. But you're already poor. And he made them no promise of any more money. Oh, if you give a dime, you're going to end up with a dollar. If you give 1,000, the Lord will open. He might crumble you in the morning and take your shop. The number one man who supported me in the U.S., at a pretty hefty sum each month, he sustained me. He lost his business after COVID hit and went broke. And he's just now starting to come back out of it, and he sent me $100. I've been praying for him. Not that he would give. I don't care about his money, sir.
That's right.
I'm going to eat or I'm going to die. I'm going to work if I have to, right? That's what Paul did. But I care about his soul and his joy, and I want to make sure that he's doing all right. And he told me it's just starting to pick up. It's $100. Wow. Oh, no false promises. Friend, you serve God. If the Lord calls you into the ministry, out of us, and what you're doing right now with the ships, with the sailor, is you might go broke and be unhappy in everything that's happening in this world in your circumstances. But you got God, and you better keep going. That's Jonah. That's too hard to hear. It's spiritual. It's not a tithe, it's giving, it's generosity, it's from poor people, it's the grace of God, it's not been promising them anything in this world as a payback. And so are we givers? Verse 5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves unto the Lord and then unto us by the will of God. And so we urge Titus, and as he had begun, oh, he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Be a generous church. And then verse number 8 to 9, and I'll be done. He's going to talk to us more about the secret motive of a believer. So what's in his heart? What is really motivating? It's the grace of God that unlocks me, but what motivates me? Verse number 8, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Miss Daisy, ask the young man here to be quiet, please. When I'm preaching, I want you to pay attention. If you were in school, you'd have to pay attention, right? This is even more important. This is from God. It's an education in the heavenly things. And all of our children who can listen ought to sit still and listen. I was too scared of my parents to utter a word in public. That's out of place. And I took my whoopings at home for all kinds of stuff. But I was scared of that. I'd be old one if I got that. But verse number 9 is it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. It's our last point. I ask you to stick with me.
He's saying that the motive is not the tithe, it's not in law, it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a greater motive than them all. Did you know how locked up you were in the bondage of sin until you saw Christ Jesus? And how he came down for you out of heaven and took upon himself a body. And how sinful flesh like me and you pressed up on him and touched him. If you're walking through the market, sir, and you're rich, do you want a bunch of poor people touching you? And all that they're after is your money? But the Lord Jesus Christ is actually walking around in the middle of the crowd, and everybody's touching him and pressing upon him. All that they want is a healing and not him. But it was one woman who said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, oh, I'll be made whole. And he stopped and said, who touched me? This was different. I felt power go out of me. Virtue went out of me. She's saying, oh, daughter, your faith has saved you. The whole crowd pressing on him, and he's enduring it. And then he went up on the cross and died. Oh, and he suffered the wrath of God as he hung there naked. They stripped his garments off of his holy body. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven, God come down in the flesh, died on behalf of sinful men. And he suffered the wrath of God. And he poured it out until it was finished. Then he hung his head as he gave up the ghost and said, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. He did all of that for you and I who believe his gospel. He who was rich, equal with God, who never felt pain, who never worried, who never had a fear, he humbled himself and walked upon this filthy ground and died for my sin. What a God, what a Savior. And it's only as the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see Jesus Christ by faith in the gospel that I'm free, sir, from the bondage of sin. My corruptions are overwhelming me, sir, until I see Christ Jesus. And then I realize you died and your life is hid with God in Christ. You died at the cross 2,000 years ago when he died. You were buried and resurrected in him, and you were sat down with him at the right hand of God. And by looking unto him, it's the obedience, the spiritual blessings, is everything comes because I paid my price already. And the old me is not the new me. The old me is dead, even though he's still in my body. There's a brand new me that's been made me by the grace of God. He unlocked me. He put a new spirit inside of us. A new heart, a new man, a new woman. And that's who we are. And now by the Spirit, we subdue flesh. We mortify it. We murder it. We put it to death. Because we crucified Christ Jesus already. Oh, we're free because of the gospel. Oh, and when you see Jesus Christ in the gospel, oh, hallelujah. I'm free. And I'm so free. I want to give him my life. That's what Macedonia did. First, they gave God themselves. My life. That's how I became a missionary. I was too happy to stay in California. I had to die for Christ. If you wanted my life as a missionary, I couldn't hold it back. I couldn't stop. I couldn't say thank you well enough. Tears coming down my eyes in the shower. Please take my life. Let me do something for you. Oh, that's giving. And the money is a means. It's a way to say it. But it's in here. That's the grace of God. That's obedient giving. Am I right? Yeah. That's the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Okay, brother. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Fortune administration. Here in the